W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. A debt limit showdown on Capitol Hill as the U.S. is expected to hit it tomorrow. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Tomorrow is when the Treasury Department begins taking its extraordinary measures, which means they'll stop making payments on some things it can pause payments on. Retiree benefits, pensions, some security reinvestments, things that it'll make good on later but can pause for now without any damage. That buys Congress time.
A former New Mexico Republican political candidate accused of hiring hitmen to shoot into the homes of Democratic rivals is being held without bond. CBS's Donya Backus.
Solomon Pena appeared on video for his first court hearing Wednesday. The former Republican candidate for the New Mexico State House is charged with multiple counts, including shooting at a home, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and conspiracy. Investigators say Pena lost the November election in a landslide, but falsely argued the election was rigged. He refused to concede his race. Police say he then hired four hitmen to shoot at the homes of Democratic rivals, two state legislators, and two county officials.
A not guilty plea to murder and other charges is entered on behalf of the husband of a Massachusetts woman who's been missing since New Year's Day. CBS's Nancy Chen.
They say blood and knives were found in the couple's basement, and that just hours after Anna Walsh was last seen, Brian Walsh made a series of chilling Google searches on his son's iPad, including 10 ways to dispose of a dead body if you ever needed to. How long for someone to be missing to inherit? Can you throw away body parts? And can you be charged with murder without a body?
The nation now has its third black governor. CBS's Allison Keyes reports.
African-American dignitaries crowded the swearing-in for Maryland's new governor, Wes Moore, including Oprah Winfrey, who campaigned for him and introduced him at the ceremony.
Maryland is full to the brim with opportunity.
Moore says the day was about celebrating the state's collective future.
Our opportunity to begin this future is so bright, it is blinding.
Before his inaugural speech, Moore attended a wreath-laying ceremony at the Annapolis City Dock, which was once a regional slave port. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
Another day, another George Santos allegation. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns reports the Republican congressman is now accused of scamming a disabled veteran who was trying to raise money for his dying dog's cancer treatment.
I knew I was being scammed.
Rich Ostoff, a homeless veteran, says Santos helped him raise $3,000 for his dying dog through his pet charity. But Ostoff says he never got the money from Santos, and his dog died 6 months later.
Diminished my faith in humanity.
Calls from CBS News to Santos' district office in New York were forwarded to a neighboring congressman. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Wisconsin voters will not be asked about abortion rights this spring. The Wisconsin Senate voted down the proposal from Democrats yesterday. Instead, Republican questions about unemployment and bail will appear on statewide ballots. Democrats say the public supports restoring abortion rights. They say Republicans only want the other questions on the ballot to increase GOP turnout for the state Supreme Court race. There's progress on plans to build a new youth prison in Milwaukee. The Common Council has approved the proposed lockup on the city's north side. It will replace the Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake youth prisons in northern Wisconsin. The measure now goes to the mayor. In sports, the Bucks beat Toronto last night 130-122. Wisconsin beat Penn State 63-60. Marquette hosts Providence tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Thank you. I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com. The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
I work for you. Join us daily at therickssmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Republicans all tingly in the panties, thrilled the prospect of abolishing the IRS. Yeah, the Gang of 20, they're going to get their wet dream wish list. Going to get something on it. The Fair Tax Act is what they have put forth. Told there's going to be a vote on it. This is what the Gang of 20 wants. Now, understand this piece of legislation, the new Republican House bill on taxation would abolish the IRS, which everyone, yay, we don't have to pay taxes. Oh, no. That's not what they're saying at all. Not at all. We would do away with the federal income tax, and we would go to a federal sales tax. Now, you may remember, go back with me in the way, way back machine. Back to the late 90s, early 2000s, when Steve Forbes was running around going, no, we need a flat tax. And everyone was like, yeah, flat tax. Everyone pays a flat tax. Yeah, flat tax. Without understanding what that flat tax means. And in the bill, in 2025, if this passes, now understand, rest assured, it's going nowhere. It's not going to make it through the Senate. I don't even think it passes the House. But it's not going to make it out of the Senate, and Biden certainly will not sign it. But this is their list of priorities. This is on the wet dream wish list. But the tax rate, the federal sales tax rate, stated in the legislation, 23%. Stop and think about this for a second. That's on top of what you pay in your state taxes, your local tax. That's on top of that. So a 23% federal tax would go right. You think inflation is bad now? Stop and walk with me, if you will, on this journey of, at the beginning, a 23% sales tax on absolutely everything you purchase. Food, property, clothing, services, everything you touch, just got 23% more expensive. And you go, but Rick, it's a consumption tax. We're going to, you'll choose to buy things more judiciously. What we know without question is that poor and working class people spend every dollar that they earn because they need it to survive. What this is going to be and what it's intended to be, what the point is to make this as costly on poor and working people as possible. The cruelty is the point. Because what we know is, people at the bottom of the economic scale, sales taxes hits them hardest. And in fact, there have been numerous studies that have been done that show that, like here in Pennsylvania where I live, the people at the, because we have a flat state tax, and people who, with the sales tax, They pay almost four times the percentage as someone at the very top. And this plays out because, according to the Americans for Tax Fairness folks, they point out that calculation of state sales taxes found the 20% lowest income pay on average an effective sales tax of 7.1% of their income, while those in the top 1% pay 0.9%. So do the math. Who's going to be picking up the tab? It's going to be you. It's going to be me. Everything we buy, groceries, cars, homes, healthcare, everything, everything, just got 23% higher. Now, interestingly enough, anti-tax crusader Grover Norquist almost lost his mind. Honestly, I mean, almost blew a gasket. He said, this is a political gift to Biden and the Democrats. I think this is the first significant problem created for the Republican Party by the 20 people who thought that there was no downside to the approach they took. Now, understand, this was mainstream Republican thought and still is. Got to get rid of the IRS, consumption tax. This is part of the ideology. I've heard this for years. This is not new. So when Grover tries to push it off on, it's just the 20. It's just those 20 that want this. No. This was mainstream thought in the GOP for a very long time. This is what their dream has been. Because what it means is, well, poor and working people, they get stuck with the bill. And the very wealthy, they walk away with, well, more. Now, Biden saw an opportunity. He said, great idea. It would raise taxes on the middle class by taxing thousands of everyday items from groceries to gas while cutting taxes for the wealthiest Americans. And if I'm not mistaken, what they've introduced would totally eliminate the IRS. He said, it feels good, except all going to be sales tax. Go home and tell your moms. They're going to be really excited. And you stop and think about it. Everything will just get much more expensive. Now, 23%, that's the start. I remember arguing this back during the Steve Forbes years, going, are you ready to pay that kind of, that massive bill? Because it's going to undo everything else. Social Security, Medicare are done. Done. Because they're not going to fund it. Which means, Granny, you're going to get cut immediately. Because understand, there isn't money there to keep paying all the Social Security without anything coming in. The whole calculus is that there's money coming in so that some of it can come out. There's a little bit of money there, but this is based on people working and paying into the system. This is the setup. So Granny, you know, maybe you're going to have to figure out greeter at Walmart. I don't know. Now, you may do okay because you're not going to buy anything because your consumption years are pretty much over. You've got most of everything you're going to need. Baby boomers, you're kind of through the spending, so you might be okay. Maybe because you were the last ones to really get any kind of defined benefit pension scenario. So maybe you can eke it out. My generation, well, Gen Xers, you're screwed on the Social Security front because you don't have any retirement savings. And we're banking on that Social Security to be there. They're now going to completely defund that and destroy it. And millennials, you get to pay the freight because you're in the heart of your buying years. You're in the heart of buying houses and cars and paying for children and education and healthcare and all this stuff. You're in the heart of all of that. So you get to pick it up. And everybody else, well, you're completely screwed because it will go up again and again and again because, well, we've got to pay stuff. We got to pay for military. We've got to pay for those welfare states that we keep sending money to who keep saying, no, we need to do bad things. Yeah, this is going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to try. It's like the debt ceiling situation. You know, it's a fun exercise to mentally go through. You know, hey, if we touch the button and bad, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, a global economic meltdown, inflation goes rapidly through the roof and then people stop consuming and then we have rapid deflation and then we end up doing depression. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Thanks, Republicans. Now, here's the weird thing. On this front, they're going, we're going to abolish the IRS. So We don't bring in the money we need in. We're going to go to this really unstable kind of sales tax. Because understand, property taxes, income taxes are fairly stable. We know people are going to have to work. We know that you're going to have to pay property taxes. Sales taxes, they ebb and flow. And if you start heading into a spiral of people not buying stuff, what happens to the federal receipts? Oh, yeah, you don't have any money. And that's where Republicans want things to go. Because then they can do all the draconian, nasty, cruel, and evil things that they've wanted to do for years. And this is the sad part of this. And I hate thinking this way. But they've told us time and time and time again that they want to slash social programs. They want to cut food programs. They want to cut housing programs. They want to cut anything that helps working people. They want to slash. Because remember, Republicans hate working people. Look at this legislation. If you work for a living, stop and think about where your tax rates are. Most people pay a federal rate of about 15%. Depending on how low your income is, it's less than that. Now imagine every dollar you spend being taxed at 23%. That's just the federal tax part of it. Again, not the state, not the local, none of that. Stop and think about that for a minute. Now, you had Jim Jordan today tweet out that, because again, we're gonna be in this economic world of Republicans telling us that up is down and down is up and red is black and you get it. Jim Jordan tweeted out today. Just a few weeks ago, Joe Biden signed a $1.7 trillion spending monstrosity. And now the White House says it will not negotiate with Republicans over the debt ceiling. They created the problem. They created what problem? As I understand, there was a bill, went through Congress. Congress is the purse. There were compromises made. Republicans in the Senate signed on. The bill passed Congress, went to the president's desk. He signed it. That seems like how the system's supposed to work. I'm not quite sure how Biden's responsible for Congress doing its job and the president doing its job getting the things that we as a country need and moving us in a direction that's going to move us forward. I'm not sure how that's a problem that was created by Biden. But understand, this is the up-down world. This is the created narrative world that you're going to spin into your media outlets, into your pundits and your politicians, and everybody's going to, like the stove trooper stuff. On this debt, we're going to try and blame everything on Biden. Everything's Biden's fault. When the reality is, and again, these are pure facts. The reality is Ronald Reagan borrowed and spent more money than every president in the history of this country, ran up the national debt to the highest point it had been to that point. George H.W. Bush came in and said, wow, this is bad. Even though I said the read my lips thing, I'm going to have to raise taxes and we're going to have to start paying some of this down. And he got ousted for it. Clinton and Gingrich came together and they said, we're going to balance the budget. And we had a surplus. We were going to pay off the Reagan debt. We were going to have a surplus. And then the Bush years happened. Massive spending. Massive. Massive debt. Crisis. Massive spending during the Obama years to clean up the crisis. And then the Trump years. What's interesting is, during the Trump years, the national debt rose from $19 trillion to $27 trillion during his 4 years. That's a 40% increase. And yet, the sad reality is it's now all Biden's fault. All Biden's fault. And the frustrating part of this is the media monsters, they're going to play with it. They're gonna blame Biden. When the reality is this administration has done more to cut our deficits than the last several. It's just an interesting time. Let's go to the phones. We got Jeff from Arkansas. Arkansas. Jeff, how are you today? What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, Rick, how's it going? I was kind of curious. How much time have you really spent in Arkansas?
Probably 2 weeks.
I don't know. I'm retired military. Been a lot in the world, but Arkansas is a pretty good place.
Sure it is. I'm sure there are a lot of people, a lot of good people there. A lot of the people I've met there are great people. Love the folks of Arkansas. Yep. Your government, not so fond of. Your governor, really not fond of. The economic policies that they push, not fond of. But the people I've met were fabulous.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say anything about Sarah, seeing how she hasn't done anything. I mean, she's only been governor for what, 17 days? So less than that. But
well, Sarah has come out and said that she wants to reform education, and she's going to do it in a way that's going to destroy your public education system by defunding it so we can give it off to the rich folks who want to give us the latest gimmick on education. Her theory is, and this is where my problem is, Jeff, her theory is we've defunded the schools to the point to where they're failing, so that we have to get rid of them. My mindset is, okay, if we're going to take that scenario that we underfund something, we set it up for failure, and we get rid of it for the next gimmick, maybe we need to start breaking up some of these welfare states that take more money from the federal government than they put in. Maybe that's a thought. There's my idea, Jeff. Any thoughts on your end?
Well, listen, we have a surplus money-wise, so we can't be a welfare state because that, you know...
You get almost 40% of your state's budget from the federal government.
Pardon?
You get almost 40% of your state's budget from the federal government.
Well, yeah, we can't help that.
No, that's the reality. So when you have lower education spending, when you have less health care spending, when you have a lot of the problems that get picked up by the federal government, and then have a government that says, we don't want these things, we don't want your policies, we don't want any of this, it tells me that maybe we shouldn't be doing it. That's my point. I don't hate Arkansas. I hate the policies that the people who are running your state pursue. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. But again, I mean, on the outside looking in, it's not so bad on the inside looking out. I think our schools are wonderful.
Okay.
I think they're outstanding. I'm from White County, Arkansas, and we have some of the best there is in the state.
Outstanding.
The other 75 counties, some are.
So you're going to say good things about your teachers. I love that. Thank you, Jeff, because I want people to respect teachers and honor teachers because they do such an incredible job. And I'm thrilled to hear that your county, it's great. I'm thrilled to hear that, Jeff. Nothing makes me happier.
And I'm kind of hoping they stay away from CRT as well as making sure that
you don't want them to teach history.
She'd use a male's bathroom, and she's going to make sure about that.
Okay,
and
thanks,
most
Jeff.
Our candidates are happy with that.
All right, okay, there you go. Appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks so much. I got to move along.
Okay, bye.
Thanks so much. Let's see, who do we got on line three? We got Zachary on line three. Zach, how are we doing today? Let's go there. I think we lost him. Let's go to line two. Who do we got on line two? We got... Oh, okay. Oh, he did? All right. Well, let's go. All right. Who do we got here? Since we...
Hello?
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Hello.
Yes.
What's on your mind?
Rick brought up Mississippi and Alabama, and I have something pertinent to that. I'm very pro-union. I'm very anti-Alabama and Mississippi, but it was something specific. I'm well traveled.
Okay. Thank you. So what's the problem?
Can I?
Hit me. Sure. Go.
Oh, it wasn't a problem. There. I tried to bring this up with the NAACP, and I kind of got rounded around things like they didn't know where I was, so what I was talking about. There is a town in northeastern Alabama. The name of it is Winfield, Alabama. It's close to the Tennessee border.
Right.
In that town, the center of the town, it's a small town, but the center of that town is a celebrated slave sale block.
Okay.
It is still standing in honor of slave sale day, in honor of Wednesday, during which every Wednesday, that entire town, including federal offices, are closed. And They say, but that's fine because they keep them open on Saturday.
Okay.
To the best of my knowledge, it has never been touched. It's still there.
So what should we do?
And it's just one of those things that's been a burr up my rear for a long time.
And so what should we do?
I don't want to say that on the air, but I would like to tell them that.
Okay. All right, good. I appreciate the thoughts. Thank you.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. Thanks. I'm not sure what's that, but I appreciate the time. Thanks. Gonna take a quick break on the other side. Gonna take your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. This is the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in 2 segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible 2-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Real quick, let's get to the phones. I got Eric on line one. Eric, thanks for taking time for us, buddy. What's on your mind?
No, absolutely. You're speaking my language. As you're talking about taxes and you're talking about the Republican hypocrisy, and I just wanted to chime in. I'm actually a CPA by trade, and this is the time of the year for me, starting to get pretty busy, but just wanted to say that, you know, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act by Trump, a lot of the stuff that helped working people, they sunset,
right.
Meaning that they have to be renewed. And if they're not, they go away. Yet for people like Trump, they don't go away. They're in there permanent until somebody, rescinds it or gets rid of it. That's one thing. The average, benefit that we saw working people was $1,200 on average, yet people making millions of dollars in estates, with their, wealth, get to transfer that to $22 million married, filing, joint. You could pass along to your kid. And again, they call it death tax, total nonsense. But then one thing I wanted to point out, let's start pointing out, because again, I think I called in once mentioning, we need to start pointing this stuff out directly and in the pocketbooks. And say, you know what? Hey, you guys want to go back to the 50s? Why don't we go back to the taxes?
Absolutely.
Tax rate was over 90% in the 50s, and that built a whole lot of stuff. But you don't hear anybody talking about that.
I say it all the time. We need to go back to the good socialist president, Dwight David Eisenhower's tax code.
Exactly. And so, but then, you know what? Let's go back even further. 1913, the very first tax return, $3,000 in 1913, that if you made over $3,000 inflation adjusted, that's $84,000. You didn't have to file a tax return or pay, the taxes unless you made over $84,000. How many of us do that? And nobody wants to talk about that. They hate progressive taxes because they end up having to pay more. That's just the fact of the matter. And the IRS gets $16 for every dollar you spend on that organization, and yet they don't want to fund it? Please.
Yep. No, you're so spot on. I appreciate the call, Eric. Good stuff, man. Thank you.
No, sure thing. Keep up the good work.
Thanks. Appreciate it. No, I mean, at the end of the day, the reality is what it is. They are robbing us blind, and they've used the tax code to do it. And Eric is spot on. Every benefit that we working people got out of that tax scheme under the Trump administration, sunsets. Those tax cuts for corporate America, those tax cuts for Trump, they go on forever and ever and ever because that's what it was meant to do. Question is, when are we going to wake up? When are we going to say no more and fight back? I'm going to watch the clown show.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. Tomorrow, the U.S. will hit its borrowing limit. Without action from Congress, the government will have to resort to extraordinary measures to avoid defaulting on its debt. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
It's the same political chemistry the last time the experiment almost exploded. Republican U.S. House emerging with new members and new leadership. Democratic Senate, Democratic White House.
A first court appearance in New Mexico for former Republican candidate Solomon Pena, who was accused of hiring men to shoot at the homes of Democratic lawmakers. Judge Jill Martinez.
Mr. Pena, you will be afforded a hearing on the state's motion for pretrial detention. You will be held without bond until that hearing.
The husband of a missing Massachusetts woman is arraigned on murder and other charges. Prosecutor Lynn Balin says Brian Walsh looked up online how to dismember and dispose of a body.
The defendant is now before the court charged with murder of his wife, Anna Walsh, as well as disinterring of a body.
Walsh's lawyer entered a not guilty plea on his behalf. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mantner with your headlines. A man wanted his uncle to be given ivermectin to treat the COVID-19 infection. The hospital said no. Now the Wisconsin Supreme Court decides that the hospital should have been forced to give him the medication. Alan Gall suing Aurora Medical Center in Summit because doctors there refused to give the drug to his uncle. The case will decide if courts can force doctors to provide treatments that the medical community finds substandard. A new statewide task force will fight human trafficking and support survivors. Attorney General Josh Call announcing the Wisconsin Anti-Human Trafficking Task Force, which combines federal, state, and tribal law enforcement and victim service providers. Their job is to ensure justice is brought to human traffickers and to supporting survivors. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Krut.
Our guest is Kristen Elfheim, who is the state Senate candidate for District 19 in the Fox Valley.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
There are really good people that have been in Madison on both sides. And if we're not letting the strongest problem solvers win, we're making a mistake.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Organic methods, rain gardens, and rewilding your yard with things like prairie grass. For help, go to rewild.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, this Saturday, January 21st, 13th anniversary of Citizens United versus the FEC. Yes, remember, that's the day when corporations became people, money became speech. I remember the same people who pushed that frame are the same ones who are saying that actual real human being people don't have control of their own bodies and aren't capable of that. But corporations, people, money, speech. And you look at what's going on in D.C. with the now we're going to abolish the IRS so that we can give the wealthy even more speech and power. So, again, it's that cycle that goes back to them. So the question is, how did they get away with it? How did they build the largest, most incredibly wealthy wealth class in the history of civilization? Well, tax codes, tax havens, all kinds of fun stuff. And if you've looked at some of the recent reporting, we're finally coming around to the reality that, well, we're getting screwed over. And here to share some thoughts on just how bad it is, I've asked Kalena Tomhave to come talk with us. She is a freelance journalist and also a researcher with the folks over at the Institute for Policy Studies. She works on their inequality program. Kalena, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So walk me through this, because, you know, I just saw this article over at The New Yorker that looked at the Getty family and how they've avoided paying $300 million in taxes over the last decade. And you go, every year I pay my taxes. How do they get away with it? Are they investing in bizarre stuff like crypto? And where are they hoarding their money?
Sure. So the first thing I'll say is that it's a subset of the Getty family, two sisters that are daughters of one of the sons of one of the old Getty family patriarchs. And the only reason that we're hearing about it is because there's a lawsuit. So there's a lot more probably money being stashed by the Gettys themselves. But we know about more than $300 million avoided in taxes to California because those two sisters set up trusts, and actually a lot of the Gettys have set up trusts in Nevada, which is essentially a tax haven in the United States, where it's really easy to set up trusts and put your assets in there and essentially avoid taxation for generations, hundreds of years, in some states even forever.
I mean, you know, Nevada is one of the tax haven states. South Dakota, another one. Delaware, another one. Those are our big three, right?
Yes, and also Alaska.
Alaska, and that's news to me. Because I knew South Dakota. I know they've got buildings there with thousands of little boxes that represent, you know, all kinds of fun and interesting things.
Yeah, South Dakota is probably the biggest one. And it's also one that we know more about than maybe, say, Nevada, because they're a little more transparent than Nevada. Now, in terms of trust details, very secretive. That's part of the reason that families are attracted there. But we know that there's more than $500 billion in trusts in South Dakota because the South Dakota Department of Finance puts out a report that says that. Nevada puts out no such report. We have no idea how much money in trust is in Nevada.
Yeah, so you don't even have to go to Switzerland or the Caymans anymore. You can just go right to one of the states here. And why is this important? I mean, here we're going to bump up against the debt ceiling here. We see what's going on in Congress right now. The House is moving on an idea, on a scheme to abolish the IRS, which I think would make the Gettys and the very wealthy even more happy. Why is this important now?
I mean, we essentially have a two-tier tax system, right? Where if you are a regular person, and most everyone you know is a regular person, like even a rich person is probably a regular person, because when we're talking about the super wealthy, we're talking about multimillionaires or billionaires, just completely separate from a millionaire. And they can pay people who have spent years studying how to undermine the federal tax system, how to undermine their creditors. It's not that they know more about taxes than we do. It's that they have the millions of dollars to be able to hide billions of dollars. So these are professional accountants that they hire, wealth advisors, lawyers, trust lawyers, all sorts of people that they have working for them. Whereas, like, if you're just a guy with a job working for a paycheck, and your employer takes taxes out of your paycheck in that way, it's much harder to hide from the IRS. Like you essentially can't. But if you're a super wealthy person, you have all of those resources, and then the IRS is already underfunded. We do have the Congress did. There's going to be an infusion of funding into the IRS, which is, as you mentioned, there was a vote to reverse that, which isn't going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. But it shows where their priorities are, and their priorities align with not working people, with the very wealthy, because what we know is the very wealthy are the people who fund their campaigns. So it's in their interest to keep them very happy. Which is why, again, I keep saying Republicans hate working people, because look at their policies, look at the schemes that they come up with and how it affects people who actually have to work for a living.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that you're mentioning like working people, because these billionaires, most of them are making passive income. They're making money off of their investments. And that's what's really easy to hide from the tax authorities. Not easy, but it's easy when you have a whole team behind you, when the IRS doesn't have the resources to spend years on an audit on you. And so instead they'll just automate an audit against a poor person who's getting the EITC.
No, and that's the sad reality of where we are. And, you know, I look at someone like Trump who, you look at his tax returns now, we now know he pays nothing virtually, because he does have the army of tax avoidance lawyers to use every loophole, and even ones that he's not entitled to, because they know even if they get caught, they're going to be able to negotiate, fight this out in court for years and years, because they've got the resources to do it. So they make it more costly to hold them accountable. And also, let's not forget that they do buy, and this is one of the things that Trump was honest about when he ran for president, he did buy both sides of the aisle to get tax code language favorable to people like him, which is why, again, working people need to wake up to the reality that the Trumps of the world are not our friends.
Right. I mean, and even if you look at the state level, you might be thinking, oh, well, of course, Nevada has these loose laws. It's not a progressive California, but these laws in Nevada were passed almost unanimously, and a lot of them were put forward by Democrats.
Yeah. No, and look, on this issue, they're equally as bad. Working people need champions. They need to come together on this and understand it, because look, they play to this narrative, and you know this probably as well as anyone. We all want to be rich. You know, I think Steinbeck's, we're all embarrassed millionaires. We all eventually want to be, very wealthy. And I get that. I want to be wealthy one day. But we're not talking about just somebody who has everything they need and a little bit more. We're talking about the kind of multi-generational wealth that's unimaginable to most people. When you start talking about billions and tens and hundreds of billions, the first trillionaire, that's the kind of power that no individual should have, in my opinion.
Yeah. I read an article once, and I wish I could remember the writer's name, but it's never left me. He said something like, it's a shame that millionaire rhymes with billionaire, because if you're a millionaire, you have a lot of money. If you're a billionaire, it's an existential state. And it is anything you want, anything you dream. If you're a millionaire, maybe you can go on an impromptu trip to Paris. If you're a billionaire, you could buy a restaurant in Paris. It's very different.
You can get a phallic-shaped rocket and shoot yourself to the moon.
That's a better example than mine.
I mean, this is the sad reality of where we are. You can buy a social media, platform like Twitter and have your own little playground and completely screw with, whatever you want. This kind of power is dangerous in the hands of, the twisted and the wealthy. I mean, this is where I keep coming back to. We have got to come to some bit of sanity on this. So what's the argument to working people when you look at this? Because, again, I come back to, we all want to be rich. We all want to do well. We all want to be, at the top of the heap. Sadly, most of us are not going to be. The vast majority are not. But what's the message to them to care about these havens? What's the message here?
I think that, the widening inequality isn't so much about poverty and people who are poor. Like, that's a big part of it. But the problem is when inequality enables just a few people in society to have all of this power to basically buy our legislature, which is what's happening. These laws about trusts, they're not just written by sympathetic Congress people. They're people who've been bought by this industry. They let the trust lawyers write these laws. And I don't think that even if a working person believes that they want to be a millionaire one day, I think that it's a very different argument between letting our system be completely purchased by elites, essentially, because that's what's happening. It's not so much about affluence. It's about power. Where is the power? And that's what they're buying. They're not just buying like a nice vacation home so that you can take your family for a week or whatever every summer. It's power.
No, it is power. And I look at someone like Bezos. He's the example for me. He's got the kind of outweighted power that crushes the economies. The workers who work in his facilities make lower wages than warehouse workers in similar areas. They work in much more dangerous conditions. All of the negatives seem to be magnified when you have someone who has that kind of outweighted power. And for me, it comes back to how people put food on the table and a roof over their heads. And when you have someone who has that kind of access and control, it not good outcomes.
That's exactly what it's about.
So how do we deal with this? Because again, I keep coming back to, we know what the problem is. We have, through bad policy, through horrible tax policy, neoliberal trade policies, all of this stuff forward, we've created the largest billionaire class in the history of civilization and given them such enormous wealth and power. How do we take it back?
Yeah, well, I can think of a few things. And the first one is that we need to kind of demystify the importance of taxes, because I think that for a lot of people, taxes can make their eyes just glaze over. Like, I started working on my taxes recently, and it is so boring. And that's what people think of when they think of taxes. But we need to shift the conversation about how taxes represent, like we were talking about, this dichotomy of power. And if we could actually have an activist movement about taxation, and I think we do somewhat, but it's not as, I don't want to use the word sexy because that's really cliche, but I can't think of another one.
Yeah, no, look, we've been trained like Pavlovian dogs when we hear taxes to start foam at the mouth and be against them. We've got to make the sale of why taxation is important, the things that we get, the roads, the bridges, the education, healthcare, if we're fortunate enough, the things that we need. For me, I've always said, government is how we do collectively the things we can't do individually, and we do that through our taxes. But we've rewritten the tax code in such a way, and look at what Republicans want to do today in Congress, to where they've shifted the responsibility from the people who have the resources and the ability to fund these things down to the people who don't. And it's that kind of resentment that they want to build that just plays into their hands, because we think a tax cut, a couple of pennies for us is a good thing, while giving, and I think the Trump tax code is a perfect example, while giving millions and tens of millions to people like Trump.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think looking at more tangible changes, this example of the Gettys is big because it shows how it's not just like an abstract country that's suffering because of Nevada's choices. It's California. Yeah. California is losing out on millions of dollars in taxation, and it's up to states that are suffering from these unbalanced laws to make a stand about it. Because even if tomorrow Nevada closed up shop of its trust industry, it's all going to migrate to South Dakota. Yeah. So that doesn't even matter. It needs to be these other states, because right now it's a race to the bottom and more states are joining. So that's on the state level. And then also on the federal level, we need to pass real forward-thinking trust legislation that closes these loopholes, closes taxation loopholes, requires disclosure so that people can't set up trusts and shell companies anonymously and not even the states know who they are. We can tax trusts that will give us more money to pay for the things that people need, like healthcare and housing. So it's tough because we need a Congress on our side.
Yeah, and that comes back to us and who we vote for. But at the end of the day, the policies that we've allowed to spring up around us have done this to us. Bad policy got us here. I think good policy can get us out. But Kalena, I appreciate you taking some time, sharing some thoughts on this. It's an important issue. I hope you'll come back and share some more with us down the road.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Kalena Tomhay, she is a freelance journalist researcher with the Inequality Program over at the Institute for Policy Studies. We'll get links out on how you can take a look at the work that they do. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. This is the Rick Smith Show. For working people, come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. Have you ever worn a union button or t-shirt to work? On this day in labor history, the year was 1912. Members of the Australian Tramways Association in Brisbane, Queensland, decided to put on their union badges at work. The men operated and maintained the city's public transport system. For months before the action, their manager, an American named Joseph Stillman Badger, had banned wearing the badges. He wanted to thwart the union from growing in numbers. Before noon that day, the workers gathered together and donned their union badges by affixing them to their watch chains. And for that, they were promptly suspended from their jobs. They were told they could return to work if they took off the badges. The workers refused. That night, 10,000 people gathered in the city's market square in a rally to support the workers. The next day, 25,000 workers walked off the job and marched through the streets. A general strike was called for January 30th. 43 unions supported the strike. The police violently attempted to disband the strikers on February 2nd, a day known in Australia as Black Friday. Perhaps the most remembered event in the strike occurred when the famous feminist Emma Miller stuck her hat pin into the rump of the police chief's horse. The horse reared and sent him tumbling to the ground. The strike wore on for 5 weeks before it faded. At the end of February, the tramway employees were officially granted the right to wear their badges. But the company refused to hire back striking workers. The events at Brisbane were an important stand for free speech and the right to form a union. A question for today is, how far would you be willing to go to show your union pride? Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and the Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So, most people disapprove of how the GOP handled their speaker vote. 53% of Americans disapproved. 32% were in favor of it. 32%, that number seems, well, seems Trumpian. Not surprising that 32% would be all in favor of the debacle that we saw. It's just, well, I guess not surprising. Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on line one. Alice, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. So I'm going to chime in here about the Republicans' wet dreams on slashing all of the safety net programs. Okay, so they've already, because they don't think ahead, you know.
See, I think they do. I think the cruelty is the point. I'm going to disagree. I think they've thought this, they've gamed this out in their think tanks. They know the pain and suffering that's going to cause, and that's the point.
Well, yes, that I agree with you on that. But they're not looking the long road, and I'll tell you why. They've already killed off hundreds of thousands of their supporters with the COVID, okay? You know, telling them not to get the shot and the whole nine yards. So we're going to slash the Social Security programs and the other safety nets. Now, the latest statistics, and I just looked this up to make sure that I had it before I called, 31% of the American population are registered Democrats. 28% of the population are registered as Republicans, and then it's in the 30s, and I can't remember exactly, are independents.
Right.
So we're going to assume that we're going to kill off millions more by starving them, denying them food and whatnot. So they're going to lose more supporters. So we can look forward to more nuttiness because they're not going to be able to win any elections unless they, you know, pass all kind of new laws like, you know, women can't vote or something equally amusing.
They're trying.
Or let's go back to the original intent that only property landowners can vote.
Male over 21.
The Federalist Society and their original intent is they conveniently forget that the original intent of the Founding Fathers was that people would take turns in Congress, but apparently they could forget about that.
Yeah, but I also think that the founders would think that we as voters would hold them accountable.
Well, absolutely.
See, I'm not a term limit guy. I think we have the ultimate term limiter, and that's our ability to vote for good people. The problem is
we've got... Well, I agree with you on that, but my whole point was if we're going to go with original intent, then we should apply it to everything, correct?
There you go. I'm with you. All righty.
But you have a good evening,
Good
Rick.
Stuff. Appreciate it, Alice. No, I believe the cruelty is the point. And I look at John Stewart's comments. John Stewart was commenting on George Santos, who, you know, I'm almost done caring about George Santos. The things that he's done, you know, stealing money from, what was it, of a dying dog he took money from. He claimed the mother was at 9/11, changed his name to a Jewish name so he could get money from there. I mean, just a grifter, a con man. There's all kinds of things. But John Stewart says the thing we have to be careful of, and I always caution myself on this, and I ran into trouble with Trump, is we cannot mistake absurdity for a lack of danger because it takes people with no shame to do shameful things. And I found that to be, you know, I agree 100%, and I believe this. You know, people with no conscience are the ones who are willing to take food out of the mouths of children. Someone like Santos, if the stories are true, you know, taking money from a dying dog, you know, okay. And the people around him that are continuing to prop him up, there's a problem there. There's a problem there. Now, the fun and entertainment's about to begin, because if you look at the House Oversight Committee, you got three of the 20 on there, or two of the 20, three of the insurrectionists. My congressman, Scott Pardon Me Perry, he is now going to be on the House Oversight Committee, along with Marjorie Trainwreck Green and Paul Gosar. So that's going to be an interesting committee. It's going to be fun to watch what they do, because they're going to go and do what they're inclined to do, which is the cruelty. And my favorite defense yet, Donald Trump on the Truth Social. He said the fake news media and crooked Democrats keep saying I had a large number of documents in order to make Biden classified ducks look less significant. When I was in the Oval Office and elsewhere and papers were distributed, he wrote, to groups of people and me, they would often be in striped paper folders with classified or confidential or another word on them. When the session was over, he writes, they would collect the papers, but not the folders, and I saved hundreds of them. Remember, these were just ordinary, inexpensive folders with various words printed on them. They were cool. They were a cool keepsake. The argument is they weren't classified documents. No, because he said the Gestapo, the FBI, planted them. No, these weren't classified. These were just cool folders that a billionaire thought he would hoard. Because, you know, we don't want them to go to waste. We've got these cool-looking folders with words on them. You know, the very best words, like classified and confidential. That's the new defense. I love how these I wonder if he's going to take that one into the court of law. I wonder if a judge gets to throw that one out. And how do you defend this? Crazy times. Crazy times indeed. And as I've said, you know, sitting in this seat, what the Republicans are going to bring us over the next 2 years, pure entertainment, but dangerous for our country. And back to what Stewart said, you know, just because they look inept and it's absurd doesn't mean they're any less dangerous. You back these.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.